In December 2020, the government set out its plans to change the way public procurement operates in the UK, subsequently launching a three-month consultation on the proposals. In December last year, the government published its response to the feedback it received, and in doing so moved one step closer to what it calls a transformation of public procurement, on which around £300 billion is spent each year. Hello, I'm Liam Turner, the editor of Housing Digital, and welcome to the fourth instalment of the Housing Digital podcast, this time delivered to you in partnership with Procure Plus. In this episode, we're shedding light on the proposed changes to UK procurement law and the effect these changes will have on organisations operating within the social housing sector. Joining me in this discussion is Claire Teslow, Senior Procurement Manager at Social Housing Procurement Specialist Procure Plus, David Knowles, Senior National Account Manager at Supplier Rexall, and Chris Kellier, Partner at law firm Devonshire's. Let's get into it. Okay, so if I start with you, Claire, can you explain to a layman like me what these procurement changes are and how they've come about?
Well, during the UK's membership of the European Union, the main pieces of procurement legislation came from the UK's membership of the EU. So the EU would implement directives in respect of how different types of public contracts should be awarded, and member states were then required to implement those directives into their own statute books. And the UK's membership of the EU placed tight constraints on the UK's freedom to implement specific procurement legislation of its own, because no law set domestically could undermine the requirements of the law set by the EU. So following the UK's exit from the EU, we began to see some changes in the field of public procurement. The UK signed the World Trade Organization's Government Procurement Agreement in its own right, or the GPA for short, and this places requirements on the UK to award public contracts in keeping with the principles of fairness and impartiality and transparency, non-discrimination, but it's a much more flexible legal framework, and we can see this reflected in the changes the government have since proposed. The requirement to advertise tenders in the Official Journal of the European Union, or OJU for short, was replaced with a UK-based tender portal called Find a Tender, and there was also the publication of a national procurement policy statement that signalled to contracting authorities to leverage procurement and consider a range of social value outcomes in what they were buying. And the statement required contracting authorities to consider their own procurement and contract management capability too. But by far and away, the biggest changes that have been signalled came in the publication of the government's green paper, which was called Transforming Public Procurement, and that was published in December 2020. That paper began a three-month consultation with all stakeholders in public procurement on a series of proposed reforms to procurement legislation, but also to the way in which public procurement as an entire discipline is practised in the public sector. And it invited responses from the spectrum of stakeholders, such as contracting authorities from right across the public sector, companies who tender for public contracts, academics, the legal profession, as well as public interest organisations. And in December 2021, the government published their response to that consultation and set out some detail of the changes they're going to make to the law. But as we'll see, the changes also mean an overhaul of policy and practice too.
Yeah, and the main change, it seems to me, is the condensing of the four existing frameworks into one. Can you just explain a little bit about, you know, why the government are proposing that?
Yeah, sure. So the scope of the changes, as you say, is very detailed, and there's more detail yet to come, but at the highest level, as you say, the changes will condense the four main pieces of procurement legislation that we currently have to one instrument. Currently, the piece of procurement legislation that particularly social housing providers predominantly rely on is the Public Contract Regulations 2015. In that piece of law, there are six tendering procedures that provide the rules for how a tender process should be undertaken, depending on what's being procured. And under the new rules, there'll be three procedures to choose from, one of which, the competitive flexible procedure, will give contracting authorities significantly more freedom to design the tender processes than they previously enjoyed. There are parts of the current pieces of legislation where it's easy to see why they're different, and there are parts where it's less obvious why a separate law is necessary. And I think one piece of legislation with improved drafting will be especially helpful in navigating complex evaluations, particularly in the areas of things like post-tender clarifications. And one law will be helpful to those contracting authorities who currently have to operate across more than one of the existing pieces of legislation.
Yeah. Okay. And Chris, if I can bring you in here. So with Devonshires, I understand, you know, you work quite a lot with housing associations and you advise them on legislative issues.
Yeah.
In regards to these changes and these changes that are coming in, I mean, I know they're not all set in stone yet, but what do housing associations and local authorities, you know, who may be going out to tender, what are the main things that they will need to be aware of?
Yeah, sure. So I think the first thing to note is that we're expecting, although we haven't had this confirmed yet, but we are expecting housing associations and local authorities to remain as what they're currently termed as sub-central contracting authorities under the procurement regulations, which means that they have to comply with the regulations, but certain aspects of them may be slightly different for housing associations and local authorities than they are for central government. In particular, the financial threshold at which these regulations apply to their contracts that they award may be slightly higher for housing associations and local authorities, but we'll wait to see the detail on that. I mean, I think the sort of key thing to note about the new regulations when they come in is that they're designed to provide housing associations with and local authorities with more flexibility in terms of how they procure and award their contracts. Claire's already mentioned the new procedures that have come in or that are going to be coming in, and in particular the competitive flexible procedure, which will to a large extent allow all contracting authorities to devise their own procurement process. Now whilst that obviously provides more flexibility and opportunity with it, does come potentially some uncertainty, which was noted in the response to the consultation on these regulations, is that this is going to perhaps result in a lot of authorities having to devise procurement procedures kind of from scratch, really, because they're not following a prescribed procedure set out in the regulations. So with that flexibility will come a bit more uncertainty, and we're going to need to have, I think, quite a bit of guidance from government on these new procedures as and when they come in. Other things I think that housing associations, local authorities will need to look out for is the changes on the rules on framework agreements and dynamic purchasing systems. So framework agreements, whilst to a large extent the rules I think will operate quite similar to how they do now, there is going to be provision for what's known as a new open framework agreement, i.e. one that can last up to 8 years, with opportunities for suppliers to join it during its life. And the other sort of change is around dynamic purchasing systems. At the moment, they're a sort of a kind of an open framework, and they're designed to be used for fairly bog standard type procurement, not complex procurement. But the proposal is that they will be able to be used for more more complicated works and services provision than is currently the case.
Yeah. Okay. I know you mainly work with housing associations and the like, but are you able to kind of share some insight for the other side for suppliers?
Yeah.
What will they need to be aware of mainly? Is it the same things that housing associations and whatnot will need to be cognizant of?
Yeah, so on the supplier side, as you say, we act predominantly for the housing associations, local authorities, but also for suppliers. And where I think suppliers are going to see differences is in relation to the increased transparency requirements. There's a real emphasis in these new regulations of increased transparency and requiring authorities to be More open with the information they publish about tender outcomes and how things have been evaluated. And in particular, one proposed change is in relation to the level of feedback information that an unsuccessful supplier will be entitled to under the new regs. So at the moment, they're entitled to what was referred to as an award decision notice, which sort of sets out, you know, relative information on how their bid compared against the winning bidder's bid. But under the new proposed changes, that's going to be replaced with an entitlement to actually see the evaluation documents relating to the successful bidder's tender, redacted for commercial sensitive information. But so there's potential there for suppliers, unsuccessful suppliers, to have far more access to feedback information than is currently the case. And I think, you know, that may well be welcomed by suppliers who feel as though their tender's been judged unfairly. Authorities may not like that change quite as much, but certainly I think that's one area which suppliers will be interested to see how that develops.
Sure, yeah. And Dave, as a supplier, overall, are you in favour of these changes?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, anything that allows greater flexibility and transparency in the sector can only be a good thing, to be honest. I mean, for a while, we've been looking to try and get some greater dialogue between suppliers and customers. So pre, during and post-tender engagement, and it allows you that ability to develop innovative procurement solutions. So anything like that can only be a good thing. I mean, it also promotes responsible procurement, perhaps, because there's a greater emphasis away from the shift on price. And obviously, quality is a lot bigger thing in the marketplace, which can only be a good thing. One thing I will pick up, though, that Liam just mentioned there is about, obviously, the procurement decision and the standstill period. Like I say, at the moment, there's no real value, any debriefs. It's just, a lot of the time, it's just you haven't won this certain tender or opportunity, perhaps. So one of the key things moving forward is obviously mentioning transparency, is that we can really look at where weaknesses are in potential bids and where people can move it forward and create a better solution for clients. So in that regard, yeah, it's a win-win solution for everyone.
Yeah, sure. I was having a little read through the government's response to the Green Paper, and you know, there are a lot of proposed changes that majority of respondents were in favour of, such as, you know, condensed in the four pieces of existing legislation into one. But there were some suggestions that people were quite, I wouldn't say passionately opposed to, but there's definitely more opposition to those than others. And one of those is the proposal to remove proportionality as a legal principle. And I think Procure Plus responded to this suggestion, and I think you argued against it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the government are proposing removing proportionality as a legal principle, and instead it will be written into the new legislation as a specific requirement at appropriate points in the process, for example, in setting timescales for the return of tenders. You're correct, Procure Plus did feel quite strongly that proportionality should be retained as a principle. I think in practice it's actually quite difficult to separate proportionality as an idea that differs from fair treatment, really. Disproportionate treatment is something that's quite easy to spot in a procurement, for example, in the minimum amount of experience that's required to tender, or in a decision to exclude a company for a matter that could be resolved with less punitive measures than removing them altogether. So I'm pleased that proportionality will be around in the new legislation, and I'm hoping that the government will make it clear in the drafting where that should be considered. And I think particularly when considered against the new freedoms and flexibilities that are coming and the emphasis that's being placed on the capability of procurement professionals to use their processes to deliver more and more challenging outcomes.
Mm-hmm. And are there any other proposed changes that you're particularly opposed to?
Well, I think that all change brings both challenge and opportunity. Contracting authorities across the public sector will have to wait for the guidance and the training that's promised, and then we'll have to evaluate how these changes work in practice. I think the changes to framework agreements and dynamic purchasing systems will be of particular interest to those contracting authorities who buy on behalf of other contracting authorities. As Chris says, one of the changes in that area is the introduction of the open framework agreement, whereby it can be opened during its term and all companies originally appointed can recompete for their place against new companies. And this could see a reshuffle of the companies appointed to the framework at certain points during the term. I think this could work quite well in smaller markets with new entrants, and it could provide a balance between what a dynamic purchasing system cannot do now and the structure of a framework agreement. But for larger framework agreements that are widely used, and specifically those that are set up with a lot of companies for the purposes of offering choice to a customer base, I feel that it would be quicker and cost effective from a procurement resource point of view, really, to re-tender it. I think it would be really interesting to see the new variations in the design of tender processes under the use of the competitive flexible procedure and how bidders respond to that variation in design. My experience of bidders in the construction market is that they are inundated with tender opportunities. It's actually the contracting authority in competition for the bidder in some cases. I think the vast majority of bidders in the public sector are quite accustomed to how tender processes currently run, and they'll definitely need to bring in extra time and resource to be able to respond accordingly. One thing that did stand out to me was the government are again seeking to simplify the process by which companies can pass through the pre-qualification stage of a procurement, essentially allowing companies to update certain information on a digital platform. I don't think it will relieve a contracting authority from the need to ask for procurement-specific pre-qualification information, so I suspect many procurements will require a check on the digital platform, as well as verifying certain information with the bidder. I sometimes think that there's a fixation with this particular part of the process as being the source of all bottlenecks in an evaluation, and it certainly can be, especially if certain minimum standards such as professional accreditations and experience are set incorrectly. But a quality and price evaluation process that isn't planned carefully and almost rehearsed in advance can create equal amounts of risk and delay. So that's why the guidance and the training promised by the government in how to run more flexible procedures is going to be so crucial.
Yeah. And Dave, I mean, you know, at Rexel, and I guess, you know, from the perspective of suppliers more widely, it sounds like your overall kind of in favour of these changes, but again, like I asked Claire, is there anything in particular that you're opposed to, or do you share similar concerns to Claire?
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think you can look at it both ways. I mean, as Claire mentioned, there are going to be more opportunities and resources going to be key, but I think the ability to see what's coming in the future and allow the provision to plan a bit more allows suppliers to pick and choose, I guess, in that respect, and fully understand the marketplace and really develop a quality solution. And as I say, pick and choose the ones that they want to go for. So in that, the ones that they do decide to go ahead with will allow them to create that quality, innovative solution. However, on the flip side, I think as there are more opportunities, there is a case where more may slip through the net, unfortunately, and the ones that potentially previously would have had a really quality response and some really fantastic people coming back may unfortunately slip through the net, and the choice may be quite limited. So there are some questions and some concerns perhaps, but I guess those will come out in the next few months as the proposals come into place.
Yeah, sure. And just zooming back out a little bit for, I guess, the main reasons for these changes, that, you know, the reasons why the government are saying they're bringing them in. So, for example, the government says the changes will make it easier for suppliers to bid for contracts. I guess you would agree with that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, like I say, it will make it a bit more easier. Obviously, the tender opportunities will be opened up earlier, so there's a greater degree of planning and preparedness that can go into the supply market. So yeah, it'll be certainly easier to bid for contracts. It's just like I say, there's going to be more of them, and there is a danger that some may slip through the net, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure. The government says the new regulations will allow procurement professionals to talk to suppliers earlier and throughout the whole procurement process. Is that something you agree with, that you see happening as a result of these changes?
Definitely, yeah. That can only be a good thing, to be honest. I mean, the more conversations and the more dialogue that happens just allows clients to fully get across to the supply chain what it is they're actually looking to achieve. And because of that, and because of the changing marketplace, be that a digital solution, be that innovative, efficient procurement solutions, then the conversations could be had and we can really get to the bottom of how we can add value into these opportunities. Because sometimes with price, it is just on the bottom line and obviously the price of the materials or the service that's on offer. But with dialogue, you can really get into grips of what that looks like and really derive some value throughout the supply chain. So no, it can only be a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. And these changes, like I say, they're not set in stone yet and they're a little ways away. But how at Rexel are you preparing for them?
We're having regular reviews now between both our bid team and the legal team to discuss any potential legislation changes so we can really understand what that means and how it may impact our business. And we then share that internally with our teams so that our branch network and our sales guys can fully understand what that potentially may look like and what lengths they may need to go to. But ultimately, it's going to be a resource issue. So we're going to have to, I think, heavily resource into our bid team so that we can really keep on top of the opportunities. And hopefully we can be more successful with them as we move forward.
And Claire, what about yourself at Procure Plus? How are you preparing for the changes? And will you perhaps be changing or making some tweaks to your existing frameworks?
Well, to the first question, procurement is, public procurement legislation is an enormous part of what Procure Plus does, and it's a legal responsibility that we take incredibly seriously right across the company. So we make sure that we're constantly reviewing information that comes out from the government so that we stay ahead of the information that's published, and we're in a position to understand what adaptations might need to be made and how we as a business and how our customers can prepare. With regards to our framework agreements, our framework agreements will be reprocured on their existing timeframes according to the law that applies at the time. So certain framework agreements that we have, because of our understanding of the requirement and the market and our desire to offer a choice and capacity to our customers, lend themselves to being procured using the open procedure, which is a procedure that will be included in the new regulations. Procure Plus is always striving for new ideas that will disrupt and make a positive difference. So I think there are other procurements we will undertake that will lend themselves to a process that has more flexibility and more ability to dialogue with bidders. I'm sure that in the fullness of time we will take advantage of the increased flexibility where to do so brings value to our social housing customer.
Yeah, and Chris, if I can bring you in, these changes, are they something that you at Devonshires will need to prepare for at all? Or
yeah, no, absolutely. So whenever we, you know, there are changes to legislation, and you know, as a procurement advisor, I've been through sort of two changes of the procurement regulations. One back in 2006, and then one again in 2015. So it's not long ago since these were actually subject to quite a large scale reform. And as ever, whenever regulations change, there is a period of learning and getting used to the new laws coming in, obviously running training sessions for clients to help them as well get up to speed with the changes that are coming in, and I don't think we can underplay it in any way. I think you know, these changes will be very significant and more significant to the changes that we saw previously in 2006-2015. You know, the government really looking to use the opportunity, you know, Brexit as an opportunity to undertake a wholesale revision of the procurement regs. As I say, I mean, I think, you know, as I said earlier, you know, on the one hand, you know, the flexibility that these changes are designed to bring in will provide a big opportunity. But at the same time, you know, I think with that flexibility comes uncertainty, and often what you see with legislation, it's not so much what the legislation does say that causes clients and suppliers a problem. It's what it doesn't say that causes the biggest problem. And you know, there is a balance to be struck, I think, between ensuring that we've got a good, flexible piece of legislation, but also one that provides enough certainty for suppliers and clients to, you know, to operate within, you know, a proper framework.
Yeah, and we've mentioned, you know, how the changes are still a little ways off, but when can we expect them to come into effect?
So in the government's response to the consultation, they said they didn't give a very firm timeline, but they said it would be 2023 at the earliest by the time the new regulations come in. They didn't really say when in 2023. I mean, the next stage now will be obviously for the government to reflect further on you know, the response to the consultation that it had, produce you know, a draft bill setting out what the firm proposals are, because obviously so far all we've had is that initial green paper in the government's response to the consultation, which sets things out in fairly sort of high level, dare I say, even fairly aspirational terms. What we'll need to see next is a more concrete set of proposals, which, as I say, comes in the shape of a, you know, a white paper and a bill, draft bill. And from that, the legislation will have to go through the process through Parliament, and I expect that, you know, it will probably be in the latter stages of 2023. I would imagine, be my best guess as to when these come in, but they may get through sooner.
Yeah. Is there anything that may get in the way of this process?
Well, only I think just general parliamentary business and other priorities, perhaps, you know, at this time. You know, it is a government, but the government has said it is a priority to, you know, to update and reform the procurement legislation. But, you know, at the moment, it's not as if we don't have a functioning set of procurement regulations. We do, you know, and they get a bad press quite a bit, the procurement regs, but, you know, they function, and they have done for a number of years. So it's not a priority in that sense, I wouldn't have thought, for the government. I'm sure there's probably other priorities. So there may, so it may just be a case of, you know, other things just getting in the way, and it just takes a bit longer, you know, to get it through Parliament.
And you mentioned there, you said the proposals overall are quite aspirational. So do you think the government will be able to get everything it wants to from these changes?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as I say, there's this perception that the current set of regulations are quite inflexible and it's because of the regulations that procurement takes so long and so on and so forth. I don't necessarily agree with all of that. I think a lot of the reason why procurements take so long is not because what the regulations say. It's often because the way they're interpreted and the way, and procurement professionals as well are sometimes to blame for this is maybe overcomplicating procurement processes sometimes, you know, and unnecessarily so. So, and also, I think there's been generally a lack of good guidance on public procurement as well around the regulations. So whilst, yes, it's great that we're going to have more flexibility, that's only going to work if there's good guidance to support it. Because otherwise, what you'll have is people, you know, devising their own procurement procedures from scratch, and quite a lot of divergence, you know, in that regard between procurement practices, and that's what will cause procurements to become protracted, I think. So we need, so it's really important, I think, that, you know, if these changes are going to achieve what the government wants them to achieve, that we get some really good guidance issued alongside them.
Yeah. So yeah, to summarize, it sounds like we're all by and large in favor of these changes, but yeah, they need to be, I guess, communicated in a clear way to all parts of the sector.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, perfect. I think that about covers everything. And like you say, Chris, the changes probably won't fully come into effect until, I don't know, 12 months down the line, maybe 18 months down the line, but hopefully our chat today has kind of helped clarify certain points, and you know, made things clearer for those who are listening at home. But yeah, like I said, I think this is a good point to wrap it up. So thanks to all of you for joining me today to talk about this topic. And thanks to all of you for listening at home. Thank you.